There is something about Selena that has captured the hearts and minds of generations. The Tejana pop superstar's life was cut short in 1995. But for passing admirers, and in particular her Latinx and Chicana fans, she's a mirror and a guide to what's possible, to what it means to belong on both sides of the U.S. and Mexico border.
To see someone like me making it on her own terms, one of ours, those of us in the middle who felt like we weren't enough to be fully Mexican or fully American. But Selena was enough in both places. And that meant that maybe I could be enough.
That's Maria Garcia. She's WBUR Senior Arts and Culture Editor and the host and producer of Anything for Selena, a new podcast unpacking not only the life of the singer, but the way Selena has impacted us all. And Maria Garcia joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tanya. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. So this entire podcast is really a slowing down of what makes Selena's legacy so enduring. You spend a year examining and unpacking her impact on the world, which really can't be separated from you, Maria, as a Mexican-American. When you started this project, did you know going in that you'd have to get so personal to really tell the story of her impact?
No, not this personal. I knew that I could not tell Selena's story from just any place in the world. I knew that I had to tell Selena's story from the place in the world that I occupy, from my lens. That is a lens of a fronteriza, of somebody who grew up on the U.S.-Mexico border. Because the reason I knew Selena mattered so much is because I experienced it. I experienced what it felt like to see a woman who didn't have to code switch on either side of the border, who celebrated an identity that had felt so derided for so long. I was not expecting how vulnerable it would get and what a reckoning it would be for me on so many levels.
And we're going to get to that personal reckoning in just a moment. But first, this podcast through you really gives us a deeper understanding of the perceptions of Latinos in this country. There's a part in your podcast where you play a clip from Howard Stern's show just a few days after Selena was killed. And here Stern is reacting to a Tejano DJ who confronted him about how insensitive it was for Stern to play gunshot sounds when talking about Selena. Let's listen.
Okay, so you did do it. And I'm going to do it again. Okay. And I'm going to do it 20 friggin' times. Right, and I want you to leave my country.
No, man.
My country.
I was born in this country, homeboy. I have the same equal rights you do, carnal.
All we talked about was the music and how goofy the Spanish music is. And if you
can't say that, then it ain't American.
Yeah, then go to Mexico if you don't like it.
Maria, why was it important to include this clip?
Well, because it happened at a very crucial moment in culture. This happened the Monday after Selena died. She died on that Friday. So the days leading up to this, all we had seen on national television were images of these distraught Latinos, working class Latinos, people who were often not made visible. And so everything felt really raw. And then, you know, Monday rolls around and Howard Stern and his producers make it a point to make fun of the mourners and to make fun of Selena and then to make fun of Mexicans in general. You know, I know Howard Stern has made fun of other people like this, but it was important for me to include that because that shows us that mourning Selena, loving Selena has always been political. That was sort of the weekend that her symbol very clearly sort of concretized as sort of a shorthand for Latino identity in this country.
You also take us back to the 90s and the late 90s in particular in other ways. For instance, when Jennifer Lopez starred as Selena in the movie, and that was the start of what we now call the Latin boom with the rise of Ricky Martin and Shakira and you do this to lay bare the complicated and racial politics of what it means to be Latino, specifically with what you call big butt politics. How do we go from Selena to a conversation about the whitewashing of big butts in our culture?
because I saw it in my lifetime, Tanya. I mean, when I was a kid, like in my community, a big butt was like something that was praised and normal. Yeah. You know, and Black women have always been at the head of celebrating butts and big butt culture. And this episode really digs into how Latinas historically in pop culture have taken something that has been derided in Black women and have made it accessible and desirable and safe for white audiences and have capitalized on Black culture. And so it opens this bigger conversation about Latinidad often being used as a tool of white supremacy. Mm. And I mean, I don't want to get too intellectual, but really, I mean, I think it's a reckoning about like when we say Latinidad, when we say like this idea of Latino identity, well, who was it made for and who was it not made for?
I want to play a clip, actually, where you sum this up on that episode specifically of the podcast.
So the butt, to me, is a story about a reckoning, about Latinidad coming to terms with how it was built, how it has been defined through Selena and J-Lo and the Latin boom, as though it was an identity for all of us, but it never was. And maybe it's time we confront that.
Maria, what would confronting anti-Blackness within the Latino community or representation of Latinidad look like?
There's not a finish line. There's not saying, oh, if we were to only accomplish this, it's an orientation. But for me, for example, Tanya, one of the next episodes that we have coming up is an episode where we dig deeper into the relationship of anti-Blackness and colonization and how we see it in our own families. And, you know, I was looking through family pictures and I was like, my grandmother, if I were to see her in the U.S., like, she would be legible to me as a Black woman, or at least like a mixed race woman, like Indigenous and Black. And yet we never acknowledged her Blackness. And I was talking to my aunt and I said, why didn't my grandmother grow out her hair ever? And she said, oh, because if she did, she'd have an Afro. It was sort of this reckoning, right? That this erasure of Blackness generationally has been happening in my family for a long time. And at the same time that I was coming to terms with this family history, I was also confronting my own whiteness and thinking about the way I navigate the world, because I had to think about these memories that I have of my grandmother and I, and these stories that I would hear about how much she praised my fair skin when I was born. And I've had to ask myself, what does it mean that my life source, my grandmother, you know, because geneticists say that like your grandmother, your maternal grandmother is the key to generational trauma, to the joys that are passed down generation to generation. What does it mean that I came from a woman whose Blackness was erased, you know, and that I now, you know, even though I'm legible in places like Boston, like a woman of color, you know, I started thinking about my skin. And I think as Latinos, we have to have a deeper conversation about whiteness.
Maria Garcia, the host and producer of Anything for Selena, available wherever you get your podcasts. Maria, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you, Tanya. Thank you so much.